This is Touch Central.
Yeah, it's here, niggas. We be the only big boys that the big boys watch. Sing to them, yeah.
Get over, let me walk with you, talk with you. For the ones who put you down and said you wouldn't make it, but you still held your ground and came up out that basement.
Don't care. City to city, worldwide. Got y'all. In the memory of Joanne Kelly. Let us pray.
Welcome to the best of both worlds.
The best of both worlds with Leonardo Chavalala. It's HD Radio on steroids.
Tandiswa says, "Womu buzele inkatazo," which means trouble and life go hand in hand. Good morning, everybody. Hi, Mandla. Mandla says, "Everything about you, Lerato, makes my day, Inje. Probably a young Christian. I don't know. Your show's amazing. Thank you. Thanks." We kicked off the show with our Home Alone, R. Kelly hanging out with Keith Murray. It's Throwback Thursday, Business Thursday here. But before we get to Business Thursday, I got into the studio and Temba was already... By the way, guys, the cold is trying to get me, but no flu formed against me shall prosper. Okay, I'm going to fight it because I love you and I'm here for you. So I get in the studio and basically it is lit up in here, okay? Arie is like, "Temba wants you to weigh in on the subject of women being independent and men providing." And I thought, I want to jump on it and talk about it with my gorgeous... the three of us are wearing gray, by the way, just everybody knows. Hello, Kat. Hello, Swan.
Hi, Lerato. Oh, my gosh, I'm on your show. It's
so awesome.
It feels so good.
Exciting okay, stuff. So, Kat, for people who are listening to The Best of Both Worlds and only jumping onto this topic right now, what actually happened?
Okay, so this is what happened, okay? We had a guest earlier who came on, you know, and basically they just posed a question. First, it started off with the whole blessy and blesser whole scenario. And then it ended up moving to the fact that, what do we think, should men actually provide in a relationship or in a marriage? So we actually opened up the question. So in your marriage, like, what are your contract rules? Should a man provide or shouldn't a man provide in the whole spectrum? So then that's how things just escalated and they just blew up in front of my face, basically.
So Arie says what?
So Arie decided that, no, you know, he wants to be a stay-at-home dad. You know, he's full on. He wants to be a stay-at-home dad and he's not budging. He's not moving. He's not shaking. That's his stance. Right. And I said, okay, fine. I understand that's your stunt. That's your opinion. Mina, I said, regardless of whether I work or not, a man should provide. Okay. And I still stick to it.
Okay.
I don't know what feedback I'm going to get back from your listeners, but hey.
Okay. So, Arie, you say?
I say that the most important thing in a relationship is to be equals. And in order to be equals, you can't be blinded by things like money. You can't be blinded by things like who does this, who does that. There's got to be a fundamental understanding between two people that we recognize one another as equal. And so before money and everything even enters that picture, you have to be very strong on, you know, where the two of you are at and how you see each other as equal. So I don't want money to be a blinding factor, which is why I wouldn't mind being a stay-at-home dad if the partnership was right.
Yeah.
And it is. It's a partnership. And partnership implies 50-50.
Yeah.
I would never want money or whatever to come in between that, because I see too many relationships where money is the guiding force beyond what the two people just naturally feel about each other. And what's the point in having a relationship like that?
So one of the things I was saying off air is, you know... I contextualize our cultures. I'm going to refer to it as culture instead of color. Our cultures, because I'm Zulu and you're Jewish.
Yeah.
And I was saying to you, how would your Jewish mother feel if your nice wife was taking care of you? You know, how would she be comfortable with that? Would that bother you? Because a lot of the times, I think where Kat is coming from and a lot of women are coming from is just the societal... I don't want to say stereotypes or roles that are sort of laid out.
So look, I mean, in the Jewish context, we still have to even get past you can't date someone who's not Jewish.
Exactly.
But once you've sort of walked past that somewhat, I think that the point is to try and, you know, not do what society tells you to do. This is the world that we're living in now. You know, everyone speaks about how amazing the world is now. Everyone can express an opinion. But you've got to take that power and use it. What's the point of living a life where society dictates who you are and what you are? And at every avenue, you should try and not allow society to dictate what you're going to do. Because it's you two that go to bed at the end of the day. It's not you and everyone else.
Yes. Anyways. Sorry, my mind always goes there. Sorry. Yeah. I want to ask, because you're with us all right now, I want to actually ask something. Is this feeling of, yes, it's a partnership, we're doing this together, is this what all the brothers think? Is that what all of y'all think when you're like chilling together? Or is Aria the exception and not the rule?
Ari is he's an extreme exception. Extreme.
Sustained, yes.
And what I said on the show now is that the difference between what people say and what people do. Right. So and I have a problem with the fact that society has almost demonized a woman supporting her man. You know, why is it when a woman supports her family and a man, she's seen as being less than? There are plenty of women whose life ambition is to make sure that they raise good children who live up to the best of their potential, that they support their men. So they live up to the best of their potential, and they're comfortable in being in that position, you know. And then you have men like myself who are, you know, we love money, we're very aggressive.
Yeah, you look like an alpha male. Like, yeah. I don't see you like taking care of the babies and
yeah, it's not likely to happen. Yeah. But the main thing here is that Ari is not wrong when he says that he's okay with staying home, you know. But basically no one's wrong, and that's why I say that this thing is not black and white. There's a huge amount of gray in it. So I think there needs to be more tolerance of each other more than anything.
Okay, but can we then be fair, Lesoko, to say to Kat that, oh, she's taking women back, when there's such a huge bulk of men who already think that a woman must cook for them, is a little bit unfair. Can we at least say that, to say to say to her, you're taking women back, is not fair, when there are men, thousands of men, who also believe that you must cook for me. That actually, in the same way that Kat believes that a guy must take care of her, there are men who are just like, I've just come home from work, are you going to cook for me? That we all actually need to change our mindsets if that's what we want to do in any case.
Sure, yeah. In a utopia, yes. But there's literally, Kat said nothing wrong. Let's start there. Kat literally said nothing wrong. She represents a large portion of females in society. And that's how it is. I'm going to leave it there because I can hear Ari wants to say
something. I feel like if I'm completely honest, it's a bit of a disservice one does to oneself to say a man's job is to provide or whatever. In terms of advancing women and what women want to get out of life and what their dreams may be, to turn around and say, well, it's a man's job to do X, I think actually before doing a disservice to anyone else, there's a disservice to yourself and your ability. Why must you stay home while somebody else goes and lives their dreams?
You know, so my best friend Jill, we've been friends since I was, for 25 years, since I was 11. Like Jill, one of the things that she doesn't do as a boy is that she will not cook for a guy. She will not. She will spend like 3-6 months. She can cook, but she's like, once you start, it becomes an expectation. And so she's not interested in doing that. But then at the same time, it's not like she doesn't know. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm. But it's because she wants to equalize the thing so there are no expectations. And I don't know what's wrong with you as the couple deciding what works for you. Mm. If Kat meets a guy who wants to take care of her, a guy like Lesego, as long as she keeps looking hot like it is right now, because I'm sure that's what you're thinking. You're thinking, okay, I can provide for you, mama, but you need to, when I step up, you need to look good.
But if that's
the transaction or that's the relationship you have, then
well, what's
why
the point
not?
Of a relationship like that, though?
Because we don't, the very thing that you're saying, Aria, about not being prescriptive is what we're doing right now. Do you know what I mean? By saying we must be equal, Jay, all of us. But the truth of the matter is that people like certain things.
Yeah,
like I think you're right. I think Kat's right. Everyone's I think everybody's right. I think we must just be careful. Yeah.
That's what it is. We must be doing in a relationship. I'm not doing in my relationship. So when two people meet and they decide to, this is what we will do in our relationship, that's where it should be left to.
But I don't want to be doing what I'm doing in a relationship because society's told me what you're doing is right. I don't want that to be the influencing factor.
That's why I say it's a personal. Leave it personally. This thing of we're doing what everyone is doing shouldn't be. Once you close the bedroom door, that should not apply.
Word.
It's between you and you two.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
Everyone's right.
Exactly.
Guys, that's Aria. And so, Smo, I also wanted us, just the three of us as girls right now, just to chop it up quite quickly. Have you dated a guy that you've supported? I have, but I want to hear, and then I'll go into it.
I've done it. And it didn't end well.
Uh-huh.
At all. Mm-hmm. It's just, I think he did get a bit too comfortable with the fact that everything I
you
did
got it, this
first,
right?
First of all, I did everything for myself, and I did everything, well, not entirely everything, but I did many of these things for him.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think it got very comfortable.
Kat, have you done that? Have you taken care of a guy?
No, unfortunately not. I haven't.
You see, now, this is what's really, really interesting for me. You have two kinds of women. Women who are like Sbo and I, who've taken care of a guy, and then are like, I don't want that anymore.
Yeah.
And then there are women that I think are incredible, who are like you, who have never even started, who are just like, I'm sorry. If you ain't got it together, I ain't trying to mess with you.
I'm not even
so
about
So are you like, I mean, are you that girl who kind of looks at the guy and says, where do you work? No, let me tell you, because there's a difference. Okay, there's a guy who's employed and the guy who's gainfully employed.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a guy who has a JLB, he does what needs to be done, and there's a guy who's gainfully employed. Do you ascertain, do you kind of go, okay, where are you in the
whole spectrum?
Yes.
I think I do that
Wait,
a lot. I ask.
How do you,
yeah, exactly. Because I'm just like we want to know.
No, I ask. So what do you do? Oh, okay. But at the same time, it's like, I want to see where your ambition is. If you have that 9-to-5 job and that's just sustaining you for now, I ask, okay, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? Because now I have a goal and I have a picture in my mind. In the next 5 years, I see myself in a mansion. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So at the same time, brother,
who
you
cares?
Need to.
I have never had this conversation.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither.
I just somehow find out what you're doing in the middle of everything.
Yeah.
You know, within our talks and people talk.
No, I ask. I go straight up and up front and I ask, okay, so what do you do? Oh, okay, cool. Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? Oh, okay. Are you ambitious? Like, what's your ambition levels like? Because I'm very ambitious.
Yes,
at the same time I say I want a man to provide, I'm also going to be doing shit for myself.
Can I
say that on
your
show?
Yeah, of course. No, this is uncensored radio. Sorry. We can say whatever the hell we want.
I'm not saying, like, I'm going to quit my day job and then you can take it. No. You will provide for me, yes, but I'm also still a working woman.
Lissetti said, I'll marry Kat and buy her all the shit she wants.
Thanks, Lissetti. Yes.
You know what my feeling is? Yeah, my feeling is that, so one of my friends, who's a very good friend of mine, is totally like you. First of all, she's gorgeous like you. Beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
And then she said to me, what are you doing dating these broke ass niggas? Why?
Why do that to yourself?
And for me, Kat is like eating out. But for me, I've always, and that's why I kind of half agree with Aria about equality and finding a relationship where there's equality. Mm. But I've also just realized that as people, we just fall into these roles
without even talking about it.
It's like I find myself picking up after my boyfriend. I know he should be doing it,
but I do it
anyway.
Yeah.
Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What would you like to eat? It's like, naturally, that's what we do.
You already assume the roles.
Yeah. And I don't know. There's something quite weird. Like when I would go on these dates with these guys, these guys who didn't
mind.
You know when people are looking at you like, Sissy, You're paying for the bill.
You're paying. Why are you paying?
You're paying for the bill.
Why ang apatay?
Yeah, why ang apatay? You know? And I just found that it just became hard to explain, right?
Small. Yeah, I know. Definitely. What would you say?
It's yeah.
Or you give him the money to pay or something. Right? You end up doing
Let me transfer the money so that it looks like you did it.
But it's weird because, I mean, when guys do it all the time and no one says anything. I mean, it could be that I just decided to go out with a friend and I decided, hey, I got this friend.
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to pay. Why does it look weird, though, to people?
Exactly.
I mean, people are doing it. But, yeah, men still have to.
I mean, I won't lie. I mean, Temba wanted to know what my feeling is. I like working. I mean, I have four jobs right now. I do a number of things and I do them because I love them. Yeah. It gives me a sense of purpose to work. I enjoy it. But I don't necessarily need you to you know, make the mention happen on your own.
Yeah.
I'm willing
we'll
to come through.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll do it together.
I'm willing to contribute. Mm. But I also know that I like to shop.
Yeah.
I like clothes. I like nice things.
Mm-hmm.
And when my broke nigga was real broke, I couldn't even. No.
Real broke.
I'm going to keep it real with y'all. You buy yourself clothes. You are ashamed even to bring the clothes home because he's going to be like, yeah, but.
Why?
And you said you don't have money, you know. And it's like, oh, I don't want that. I don't want that. But also, like I said off air, that I started cooking after when I was 27 years old, because I had just thought, and my mom was like, no, it's not necessary. But I also realized I just love cooking. I love cooking for my sister, for my family in general.
Yes.
So the fact that I'm going to cook for the guy is actually inconsequential.
Yeah, I know. Just
because
happened.
I cook for everybody else.
And
you know,
you
I love
it
and I enjoy it. And I think if a guy like Lissetti wants to take care of Kat and buy her all the shit she wants,
I welcome
why
you
not?
To my life, Lissetti. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Why not?
Right?
Mm.
And have you found that, and then we're going to wrap this up, but have you found that... when you meet guys and they see your expectations, Kat, that they have expectations of you? Because like I was saying to Lesego, then it's like, do you look cute?
Are of
you?
Course.
Because I feel like it's a thing, right?
Yeah.
Do you find that that's the case with
yeah,
you?
Yeah, that is the case. Yeah. I need to also, as much as I also have expectations of him and he must provide, there's also that thing where it's like, yeah, but you also must step up to the plate as well. You need to look this way. You need to hold yourself in a certain manner as well.
So if you guys don't mind me asking, what kind of families did you grow up in? I mean, was the mom at home, the dad? How did it work? Because a lot of us are raised by single moms. I mean,
yeah,
you know, so how
well, my dad passed away 2006, so then my mom obviously became a single mom.
Yeah.
But when my dad was still alive, my mom basically, she was a stay-at-home mom. She was a housewife, but then my dad didn't stop her from doing the things she wanted to do. When she wanted dreams to fulfill, she was like, I want to open up a hair salon. My dad was like, good, go for it. I'll do anything and then it's your business, you know?
Exactly.
That's the thing, and that's why that's the household I come from. But my dad always provided for his family. That's the thing.
You know, because sometimes providing doesn't mean giving.
It doesn't mean money.
Yeah,
but
it's
yes.
giving direction to the home that you're
yeah,
building.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh.
Where are we going?
Say it loud for the people at the back.
Because I also grew up in a family like that. My mom, my father passed away when I was very young.
Yeah.
And my mom has always been... She's a nurse. She's always been working. When she wanted to pursue that more, she did it. She went to Newcastle and continued with her studies. We actually stayed with my father, who was working at the time and was cooking for us every day.
And taking care of you.
Yeah, when my mom, but when my mom came back, she still assumed position. You know
exactly.
what I mean? Cook went, but my father knew how to do it when she was not there. He took care of us perfectly. There was no problem, you know?
Yeah.
And he had this.
And as you say, Svo, it's really up to you as the couple.
Yes.
You know, it's up to you as the couple what you want. Skosana says, my chick has money. When you go out, I carry the card. I know the pin. I pay. And she cooks for me. And I love her.
Good for you.
And that's what works for Skosana.
It works for
and
you guys.
Exactly.
For you.
Yes. Exactly. Sorry, guys. It's me. It's me. So to all the Mr. Lover Mans out
lover,
there.
Lover. Yes. Lava, lava.
We would like you to know the pin to the card. You better go down on her, Skosana. Thank you, Kat. Thank you, Svo. This
Thank
is
you.
The best of both worlds. Good morning.
I know a girl. We've all loving and looking for your book up on the right man. All loving and hunting for your book up on the right man. We've all loving and looking for your book up on the right man.
Remember what Zola said, puff and pass, imnandi ngendebe eyiningi lento. This is Collie Buds saying finally the herb has come around. I started off the triple play with Shaba Ranks with Lover Man, Mr. Lover Man. Oh, this is so dope. This is for Teddy. I know Teddy loves Collie Buds. This is Collie Buds. So the topic has us lit today. It has us lit. So Upabs says to me, Lerato, are you 36? Yes, babe, I am 36 years old. I am a grown-ass 36-year-old woman turning 37 in February. Why are you asking, Pabs? Kinuang says, it's my favorite lady behind the mic now. They be wondering why I can't stop smiling here in the office. Good morning, Ratulaka. Kihurata that tata. Excuse me. Kihurata tata, my lady. Listen, I love you more. Nina says, we'll be time. Oh, yeah. I love you, Ratulaka. Why is Pashita the producer so quiet? You know what? It's my fault. Can I please do the right thing here? I need to do the right thing. It's not right to do this. Pashita, please can you say hi to the people, mommy?
How are you? I'm not quiet. I'm working.
You know what happened? It's because the topic got lit with Ari and Kat, and then we just
jumped in.
We just jumped in.
It was totally crazy. Exactly. I was just standing on the outside, just standing, staring like, ooh, ooh, ooh.
So in your house, Pashita, who... does, I mean, in terms of the roles, how does it work?
It works like this, right? Because when I was working when I met my husband.
Yes.
And then I wasn't, my contract ended and I was unemployed after I met him.
Yeah.
So at the beginning, he started off with everything, you know, paying for dinner, the dates and everything, taking care of everything. And then also when I would bring in what I can.
Yes.
So if the car doesn't have petrol, I would put in money. If I needed to, if we are short for rent, I would pay. So
got it.
I would put in whatever I can.
Yeah, yeah. And would you take care of him should he be in a situation? Would you take care of him if he found himself in a similar situation as you?
Yeah, definitely. Because it's 50-50. I mean, he was able to take care of me when I was unemployed. And
yeah.
He never rubbed it in my face. Like, look at you now. You ain't got no money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you think that couples should choose for themselves what they want, or do you feel like a man should provide and a woman should take care of the man? What's your opinion?
Every relationship is different. Yeah. I know society says something about it, but every relationship is different.
Yeah, yeah.
You cannot go and tell a relationship how they can live their life.
Exactly.
So if you can't just say this is a set package, this is how you tailor make your relationship.
Yeah.
You talk it out.
Yeah. And it's all, I mean, and like I keep saying that it's also about what you as a couple want. Yes, the societal norms, umamuzotini, what would the neighbors say? But also, as Aria said, you go, you know, to bed with that person. And
exactly.
At the end of the day, it's just the two of you. Yeah. Not you and society.
And society.
Do you know
and
what
your
I mean?
Parents.
Yeah.
And your parents-in-law.
So, mommy, we have a great show. It's Business Thursdays today.
Yes!
We have got the owners of Burgundy Fly, Nobesutu, and Andlova coming to join me after 12, so
yes.
That should be exciting.
Yes. Okay.
So yes, let's have a good show.
Yes, let's do this.
You know I love you. So that is Pashita, who's my co-pilot on this thing that we call the best of both worlds. In fact, I would say Pashita's my co-pilot, but definitely I wouldn't do it with all the love I get from everybody else. You know, from Nina. Veronica says, Lerato, I'm a huge fan of your show. Veronica, thank you for listening. You don't know how much it means to me. Khwiti says, sorry for not tuning in yesterday. Khwiti, we missed you. Can you get it right, please, wherever you are? But ain't no thing. We're all family, and it means a lot to me to hear so many people tuning into the show, enjoying it. Because let me tell you something, like I said, I feel like I'm getting the flu, but nothing will stop me from coming here, because this is a dream come true for me to finally get to play music. I mean, the fact that I get paid to do something I love like this. It's unbelievable. It's a privilege, actually. I will never even lie to you about that. And so if you want to be like Veronica and Truitsi and Nina, you know, and everybody else, Babs, everybody, all you have to do is just message us on touchcentral.fm. I keep saying this, that we are currently the country's most downloaded app right now. So you can also message me directly and I will read out your messages. So if you didn't know, from next week, am I right? Because I don't want to get it wrong. Yes, it is from next week. From the 14th until the 16th of October is the Sanlam Handmade Contemporary Fair, which happens in Hyde Park Corner. You've got different people from different countries with different stalls, and everything in there will be handmade, whether it's a ring. I actually got a beautiful ring there 2 years ago that was a gift from a friend of mine. It's food. You'll remember it used to be called the Food Design Fair, and that is still the Food Design Fair, but it's now called the Sanlam Handmade Contemporary Fair. So the point of it is to get people to appreciate artisans, people who actually work incredibly hard at you know, stuff that is handmade. It happens from, I said, the 14th of October, which is a Friday, until the 16th, which is a Sunday, and it starts from 10 until 4, the only exception being the Friday, the opening date, when it starts at 12 p.m. The tickets are 90 rand online, and if you buy them at the door in Hyde Park, they are 110. I'm so excited to be speaking to one of the artisans from that, who's going to be showing, in fact, at the fair, the contemporary fair, and I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. I am talking to Akoshua Efriyakumi. Am I saying it properly? Good morning.
Good morning, Lerato. Yes, you are.
Oh, thank goodness. Oh, so nice to have you on the Best of Both Worlds. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Hope you're well.
I'm so good. I know you're not a stranger to South Africa. When I read your bio, it says you come to South Africa quite a lot.
Yes, I
particularly Cape Town.
Do. Yes, I do. I've been coming for holidays, but this will be my first time in Johannesburg.
Oh, wow.
For a couple of days, so I'm very excited.
We are going to take care of you. We're going to take good care of you. Now, I want to tell you the truth.
Thank you.
I'm obsessed with going to Accra. I haven't been to Accra. I don't understand why I haven't been to Accra. It's I've seen the, you know, gorgeous people, gorgeous clothes, and I wanted to ask you, where in Ghana are you?
Well, I actually don't live in Accra. I live in Kumasi, which is another big city,
yes,
but nobody really talks about it because we're bit of under the radar,
yeah,
but it's a very small town where I have my studio, and yeah, Accra is the capital where everybody gets to, so that's why I'm at the moment.
So I'm hoping that after this I'll be able to get in touch with you. I will be at the Contemporary Fair next week, and I'm hoping I'll come over and say hi so we can meet each other in person. And
that'll be perfect.
You know, and hopefully now I'll have somebody that I know in Ghana that I can come and see. So your label is called AAKS, am I right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, AAKS.
AAKS. And it's obviously an abbreviation of your initials.
Yes,
you have a degree, in fact an honors degree in fashion from Kingston University in London, and you do the most exquisite bags. When I saw the press release, I was like, I want to talk to this lady. Look, let me not take the spotlight away from you. Can you tell the people about the bags, about how the label came about, and what we can expect from you next week?
Great. So yes, as you said, I studied in Kingston University, then whilst in London, I had the idea of coming back to Ghana and starting my own brand, but I really didn't know what I wanted to create. So it was through research and visiting Ghana and seeing what was around that I decided to go into the basket making business. Mm. But it was very tough at the start, and now it's still difficult, but we're getting a lot better with creating and trying to get weavers to understand. But this is how it all began. I literally packed my bags and moved to Ghana and started.
Oh, sorry, we lost you there. Okoshua, can you hear me? Hello? We are reaching Okoshua from Ghana. We're Skyping. So, you know, this is Africa. We're trying to get the data must fall here in South Africa. So I just wanted to check, Okoshua, is he with us on the line?
Hello?
Okay, fantastic. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Sorry, I think I kind of lost you.
Yes, 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 you did. So you were saying the label came about. You just sort of packed your bags, moved to Ghana and just started your label.
Yes, so I started building on this idea and researching into bag design. Even though I studied fashion clothing, I wanted to do something a bit different.
Yes.
Something that nobody has done before, and I could see this gap in the market for beautifully handcrafted products, and I love the idea of things slowing down and everything not being so fast fashion. So
yes,
this is where the whole idea began from, and I just went with it. And 2 years today, actually.
Wow, happy anniversary. I feel so honored that you're talking to us.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
So I wanted to know what drew you to want to be part of the contemporary fair here in Johannesburg?
I've heard of the Sanlam Ghanaian Contemporary Fair, but I've never visited it. But
yes,
I've heard some really great reviews from it and how everything was handmade, as you were saying. So this really drew me to it, and I felt my brand suited it very well. And then I applied and I got through. So I'm very excited. Very, very excited.
Oh, fantastic. So this will be your first time showing there?
Yes, this will be my first time showcasing in Johannesburg.
I can guarantee you, I think it's going to be amazing for you.
Thank you so much. I really look forward to it.
Now, this being radio and people not being able to
really
see what your product looks like, can you describe what your product looks like and where people can go to see some of your beautiful hand-woven bags?
So my bags are all handcrafted using fibers, which is raffia,
yeah,
and it's all locally sourced in Ghana. And I work with the weaving community to bring my ideas to life. So I create the designs and the weavers weave the bags. So it's all hand-woven, really tightly hand-woven, colorful, with beautiful colors all mixed together. And we finish it off with leather. And most of our products can be bought in South Africa, actually.
Okay.
In Johannesburg, we stock at Kisoa.
Okay.
And in Cape Town, we stock at Maison Mara and Merchants on Long.
Yes.
So we're hoping to find some more stockists whilst being in South Africa and to expand our range
and
in the country.
And is there a place where people can reach you? So, you know, if people wanted to get in touch with you in any way or sort of view your work online, would you have a website or an email address where people can reach you?
Yes, we do. We have a website, and our website is aaksonline.com. And you can find all our product range online.
I cannot wait to meet you. I cannot wait to see and touch these products. I actually love Kisoa. I love how proudly African the brand is, and I love the fact that as Africans we are now starting to collaborate with each other. That there's a sense of oneness about us, and that for me is incredibly exciting. That just makes me so happy to know that we are collaborating. So what can we expect in the future from you, just before I let you go?
Wow, I'm working on my new collection, which I'm very excited about. And I'm going to travel to other weaving communities around Africa.
Yes.
So I'm very excited about that too. So I think in the future, we'll be working in different countries and creating other products, not only bags, but moving into the home interiors as well. That's the plan.
I cannot wait for that. I cannot wait for that. And I promise you, as soon as the money gets right, I will be one of those customers who comes in and buys. Okay, Shiva, it was so nice talking to you. We cannot wait to see you next week. Have a blessed day, my sister.
Thank you so much, Lorato. Speak to you soon. Thank you.
Cool.
Have a great day.
You too. That was Okusho Afriokumi, who is the artistic director and the owner of AAKS Bags. They will be showing next week at the Sanlam Handmade Contemporary Fair. As I said, it happens at Hyde Park Corner on the rooftop. It used to be called the Food Design Fair, you will remember. It is now called the Sanlam Handmade Contemporary Fair. It's still at the same place at the rooftop in Hyde Park, which is on the corner of William Nicol and 6th Road. It starts on Friday, the 14th of October, and ends on Sunday, the 16th of October. You can go in at 10 p.m. For kids under the age of 12, it is free. Tickets are 190 online and 110 if you buy them at the door. We are a little bit late with the quadruple play. Today we're playing you songs, four songs from people who act but also sing stroke rap. Okay, so you can look forward to some Queen Latifah, some Will Smith, some Method Man also coming up right now. And when you come back at 12, we will be talking to Nobe Sutu and Nhlanhla Ndlovu, who own the label Burgundy Fly. Right now, this is one of my favorite tracks of all time. Method Man hanging out with Mary J. Blige. You're All I Need to Get By. It won him a Grammy. This is the best of both worlds. Holla!
Just me and you.
I'm always here for you.
Always, always here for you from 11 until 1. My name is Lerato Shabalala. We call this the best of both worlds. That is Will Smith with just the two of us. It was the quadruple play.
True that.
For the rest of your life, guys, I'm here. This is people who act or sing or rap, excuse me. And then they have musical careers as well and acting careers as well. We played Queen Latifah, Teddy, who loves Weekend Love. One of my favorite songs of all time, All I Need to Get By, Method Man, featuring Mary J. Blige. And of course, J-Hard, who lost a couple of, what did Missy say? I lost a couple of pounds in my whips for you. She also did that. I can see now she's working it. Like I said to you, I will be talking to, I was actually meant to speak to Nobe Sutu and Nhlanhla Ndlovu from Burgundy Fly, but I'm only going to be talking to Nobe Sutu. Now, what's funny is that about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, she interviewed me, so it's going to be nice to actually interview her, to have it be on the other side. She's going to be with me hanging out until 1 o'clock. You know it's Business Thursdays. We're going to be talking anything and everything around business, particularly if you want to have, they own the clothing label, the fashion label, an emporium, actually, to be more precise. And people kind of say, what is the difference between an emporium and a clothing label? An emporium is people like the owners of Burgundy Fly. They curate the content and get designs and from different designers and sell them at their store. An example would be sort of YDE or The Space. Burgundy Fly is exactly the same. But, you know, I'm all about black business excellence. And so it's nice to hear two young black people, I mean, who are just, they're gorgeous, actually, run such a great company. So we were talking, though. We were talking, let me not get derailed. We were talking about the different roles. So men and women, and I actually want to ask Usutu the same thing when I talk to her. We were saying, should a man, who should take the role? Like, how does it work in relationships? Are we saying 50-50 with everything? Because Kat, who does the show with Aria before I come on, she was saying that she would like a man to take care of her. And Aria was saying, why? Why should I? You know, we should be equals. We're taking women back into time. And I was saying, you must choose what it is for you. I think every couple must choose. And I think it'll be interesting to speak to Suchu, who works with her husband as well, to kind of see how it works with them. Tammy, who's a friend of the show. Hey, Tammy. Him and his wife, Tammy, are like the most. They are my favorite people. I actually can't wait to meet you guys. So Tammy says, look, I understand the whole equality thing with Aria, that Aria is talking about. But we mustn't forget to be men at the end of the day. And Tammy's referring to women helping men financially. Okay. Tammy also says, I cook once in a while. In fact, I cook more than she does. But she makes sure I look good all the time as my best friend and my wife. Isn't that what we all want, for somebody to call us that, the best friend and the wife? At the Poetry Pen, also one of the fam members of The Best of Both Worlds, says, but a lot of women want to always put themselves on the receiving end of the relationship. What's her money? What's her money doing? So basically, he's asking, what are you doing with your money if I'm the one taking care of you and taking care of us? What are you doing with your money? So if you have any more, remember, you can call me. It's always 61-555-189. If you also have comments on this topic, who does what in your relationship? Who cooks? Who cleans? Who do you are there men who are stay-at-home dads? Like Aria was saying, he doesn't mind being a stay-at-home father. Are there women who go and get the bacon and the guy cooks it? How does it work? Or have you assumed the roles that have always been taken, which is a woman does this? Excuse me, a woman cooks and a man does that, you know. And you can also do like everybody else who has messaged us on the country's currently number one downloaded app, which is the Touch Central app, touchcentral.fm. Tandiwa says, Harley girl, I'm just here to take notes. How are you, 36? You are definitely goals to keep up. Thanks, she says, keep up the great work. Thank you Tandy. Well, you know, the thing is, I don't identify, I was telling people, I don't identify with my natural age. I don't, for me it's just a number. I don't see it saying anything about me or what kind of person I should be. Do you know what I mean? I think we must define what we want it to be. Musima Kule says, Lerato, I'm 36, turning 37 next year, February 21st too. Wow, I actually turn on the 37 on the 23rd of February. So we should do a thing where I wish you happy birthday, Musiamine, and then now you call me and then you wish me happy birthday. How's that? Can we do that? I think we should do that. So we are running a little bit late, like I said to you, every time, every day after 12 o'clock. Oh, can I send a mad shout out to Rose? Mwah! Rose is like me. We're not feeling all the way 100. So I'm sending her love and kisses and saying hello. Every day after 12, I play you two songs from the same artist. If you want me to play your two from one, all you have to do is find me on the interwebs at Lerato TJ, or actually message us, #BOBW, #2from1, and I will play you your two songs from the same artist. Hit me up after the double play. I will be hanging out with Burgundy Fly's Nobesu Tundlovu, just talking fashion, business, how you make it, the struggles, the joys, the wonderful things that go with being a businessman or a businesswoman or business family in this case. So stay there. Don't move. Khuiti says, women cook, men work. You can't find a woman working with a bulldozer. But no one complains. So Khuiti says, listen, women cook, men work. Okay, that's how it is. Today's two from one comes from one of my favorite rappers. He used to be signed to Bad Boy Records. His name is Craig Mack, and I love this song so much, I don't want to interrupt it. I'm gonna shut the up and let the song play.
Yo, Mac, I don't even understand how
I didn't understand you and that Mary joint.
Yeah, I kick know, that man. Old robotic, futuristic joint.
Ooh!
Yeah, well, joint. Just like shooting the blab. Robotic kicking the lab. My flavor been a batter to the child, I'm out of the mad. I bet you.
Get on down, get on down, get on down.
get down, way down. My best friend Jill is going nuts right now, wherever she is. This is Craig Mack with Get Down. Before that, I played you Flavor in your ear. I'm so happy because Usutu, who's here, let me actually say, Unobe Sutu Ndlovu, who's here, knows the song.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, you can tell we are the same age. Yeah. We are the same age. Welcome, Unobe Sutu Ndlovu from Burgundy Fly.
Thank you, Lerato from Touch Central.
The last time we were together, it was for Burgundy Fly's book club, the first ever book club. And I was very lucky to be the first author you guys interviewed for my book, The Way I See It. You know, I also do have a book, you know, that little thing on the side there. And I wanted to talk to people about why, but before we answer that, I wanted to talk to you about why it was important for you to start a book club as a clothing label.
Okay.
But before we get there, our topic today
yeah.
is the different roles for men and for women. So we have a message here. I am not joking. I'm going to read this the way it is. It is said. Kensani says, "It's like this, boo. My money is my money, and his money is our money." I repeat. Kensani says, "It's like this, boo. My money is my money,
yeah.
and his money is our money."
Yeah.
Another thing, as much as he wants a woman that can cook, I also want a man that can cook.
That would be nice.
Wouldn't that be nice? and Mpo Boza says, 50-50 for what? Men should just provide a woman cook and bear children, period. Full stop, says Mpo Maploza. And then we also have Dalton Mutsipe who says, you know, it all comes down to how you were raised. I grew up knowing that a man provides, and if a woman assists, it's still fine. But I love cooking, so I don't mind doing it because I'm better than her.
Yeah.
He does it because it's better than her. So how does it work in your house, considering you are business partners, you and you have two children?
Yeah.
Two
girls, yeah. I actually feel sorry for guys nowadays, to be honest, hey?
Yeah.
Because if you think about back in the day, right, so a man would go out and he'd be the hunter and he'd be doing that physical activity, right?
Yes.
To bring the bacon back home, literally.
Yeah.
But now there's no bacon to be hunted in the streets, hey?
Yeah.
The mental game, it's all fake game, you know, in terms of men and women.
Exactly.
And Shem, Tina, us ladies, we do still want to be taken care of. But these poor guys, you know, it's rough out there for them.
It
so
is.
Tina Shem, in our household, yeah, it's fair game, hey? It's fair game all the
so,
way.
So Untantla cooks, you cook sometimes.
No, I cook. I cook and I outsource the cooking. But the thing is just me nangithanda ukudla, so I'm not about to compromise on that. So it's not really a male and female thing.
I said the same thing. I was saying that I love to cook, but I love to cook for everybody. For
yeah.
my sister,
yeah.
for my best friend. I
yeah.
enjoy cooking. I find it relaxing.
Yes.
So it's not a thing for me
yeah.
to cook for a guy. I don't think, oh, I'm cooking for a guy.
No.
It's like, oh, well, you know, I love you, so I'm
yeah.
cooking for you. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But I know for some women, it's like, you expect it, so I'm not going to. So you do it just because also for the love of food.
I do it for the love of food. I
yeah.
also do it for the love of variety. So, like, I'm all about the recipes. So I'm eating a new meal almost every day because I just like eating different food.
And I'm sure if left up to Ntlantla,
No, Shem, he tries. Hey,
does
the
he
other
try?
Day he did a brilliant fish stew.
Nice.
Yeah, no, it was nice actually. Shem,
yeah.
No, let me give it up to him.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what is it like working with your partner?
It's hard, hey?
Yeah.
It's hard. It's
yeah.
hard. Honestly speaking, it is hard. It's got its pros as well. You
mm.
know, I think the hard part is that you never leave the business.
Mm.
And sometimes, you know, people are like, no, you must.
Oh, that's such a good point.
Yeah, you don't. No, even when, like, even last night, I even said to him, you know what? I'm so over our conversations. He's like, so am I, but I want to sleep now. So you always constantly talking about the business. You've always got problems to solve that are related to the business.
Yes.
So you don't have a cutoff point, which makes it difficult.
Yeah.
But the good side is that, you know, your business partner is constantly with you, so you don't have to be worrying, what am I scheduling a meeting about this particular topic. You know, decisions are made a lot quicker
yes.
because we're together.
Yes.
And we understand each other, we think.
So how did it... You look like... I mean, I've seen you guys. First of all, you guys are a dope couple. Like, you look good. Your man looks good. You look good. You should see her. She's got this fro on and this dress. So How did it happen? How did the birth of Burgundy Fly as an emporium start? Because it is an emporium, right?
Yeah. Is that right? Okay. Yeah, that's 100% correct. So we started off with a problem of not liking being in corporate, to be honest. And
I know the feeling.
So, you know, we wanted to, and that's where it started. But what it's evolved to and why we're doing it right now is very different. Mm. You know, so at the time it was, I don't like my job and I need to get out of my job. And secondly, I need to, you know, build some sort of a company. I mean, let's call it business, you know, before entrepreneurship was fashionable.
Yes. And this was about 8 years ago,
yeah,
am I right?
Yeah, 8 years ago, 2008. So, and at the time as well, we knew a lot of friends who were designers, other designer friends of yours, you know, and we're kind of like, Shem, these guys really need to get out. And
yes.
We need to have business managers, you know, and we thought we could change the world for those people. And that's kind of how it all came together, knowing people who were in the industry and us wanting to start a business. And then we did a business course together. And as an outcome of that business course, we said, okay, let's perhaps start a business.
So were you missing Chola already? Or was it as a consequence of working together that you kind of thought, oh, okay, actually there's something deeper here as well?
So we met when I was 19, so at the end of my first year of varsity. Mm. So we had a long distance relationship, went into and then got married. The first year after marriage was when we actually started to start the business. So it was kind of long coming from a relationship perspective.
So now you decide you're leaving the corporate world. Yeah. Okay, you're going to change the world. And I wanted to say to you, when you said that, Steve Jobs said the people who change the world are people who are naive enough to think that they actually can change the world. Isn't it true?
That is so true. Yo.
Okay, so what happens? I mean, I can imagine that many people, I mean, Touch Central reaches 35 million people from around the world.
Wow.
So here you are, you leave your job.
Yeah.
And then what? It's not like you, I mean, unless your daddy has like millions and millions and then they give you. So where do you start now that you've decided? What do you do? What was the first thing you did?
Okay, so I love the topic of the fact that you have to be naive, because if we knew what we knew now.
Oh, never.
I'd be like, oh, it's cold out there. No. So first thing that we did was to say, okay, where can we get money?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the fact that we were working helped in terms of access to credit. So we absolutely used that. And then I just planned my resignation, made sure that everybody that I was working with, I left on good terms.
Yes.
Just in case I need to come back.
Because you never know. Yes.
And then obviously you need to just do the basics around your business plan. But, you know, my advice and my thoughts is that you don't actually need to spend too much time on the business plan.
Yeah.
Because you might end up getting into that analysis paralysis mode.
A lot of people, can I tell you, if America taught me anything, it's that the business plan is a guide. But as South Africans, we end up being so entangled in it that you never move beyond it. So I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
You've got to keep it moving.
It's so important.
The book that I read was Richard Branson, Screw It, Just Do It.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the book that gave me the catapult to say, get cracking.
Just go ahead and do it.
And get on with it.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be perfect. Started off Soweto. That was the school of the hard knocks.
Yes.
Because, I always say, if you can make it in Soweto, you can make it anywhere. Literally, because that's the lower LSM. You're dealing in a market that wants to go to Sandton, but yet you're trying to present something that you can find in Sandton. So we dealt with a lot of dynamics that were unexpected, but, you know, it came out very positively.
Yeah. And then moving from there, because now you have not just only a shop in Soweto, but now you have in Rosebank,
and the
Glen in the south
Mall.
Of Joburg, in East Rand Mall,
Greenstone.
So how does that happen? How do you go from, oh, we're going to start this? And also, how did you get the designers?
Okay.
And are you still accepting designers? So if people want to be part of your emporium, how does it work? So maybe let's start with there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you want to be part of our emporium, we absolutely want a lot more designers. It is bfly@burgundyfly.co.za.
Is that the email address?
Yeah, but yes.
Can you say it again? Let me switch you.
bfly@burgundyfly.co.za.
Okay.
You know, what we're trying to do is change the industry. So we really want to make sure that every South African designer that has got talent gets onto a quality platform, and that's what Burgundy Fly is presenting. So, you know, the question around where do you go from step one? How do we get our designers? So initially when we started, it was friends that we knew. And then we went to SA Fashion Week, and that's where we found a lot of people. And people would also find us in magazine articles.
Yeah.
I mean, one of our best designers, Lee Schubert, found us via Amari Clay. She's insane in the membrane. No, she's brilliant. And she found us on Marie Claire and was like, wow, guys, I heard you guys are doing amazing things. Can I please supply you?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're always on the lookout for talent. Yeah, so talent pretty much comes to us and we also go out and find it.
Mm.
So after store number one, you're hustling. So you're calling Rosebank Center Management. Hi, I think my business is amazing. I think we're doing amazing things. And they're like, yeah, we get you. We see you. Just keep calling me. We did that for about 3 years. So 2009 all the way through 2012. So sure, like the hustle of, like, that's like real hustling, right? Not Instagram hustling. No.
Real hustling. Because what it's about is understanding that people are going to say no to you.
Yeah.
And you could have stopped and said, it's been a year. These people keep saying no.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been 2 years. People keep saying no. But you have to keep knocking, especially if you believe in your dream.
Exactly.
You know?
3 years. 3 years of knocking. And I kid you not, they said to me, and they were polite, ne? They'll say, no, just call me after 3 months. And then I'd schedule in my diary, call Rosebank Center Management after 3 months. And eventually it happened.
Mm.
You know, so don't give up, whatever happens. Yeah, so that was store number two in 2012. And again, you know, we'd been knocking on Madeline's door since 2012.
Sure.
It's 2016. And only now we're getting into it. So,
and the store's opening in November.
November 24, we're opening. Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, it's just about being persistent and making sure that you don't give up. Believe in your brand and keep pushing it.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what the people say because they've got no context into your business. You just need to keep cracking on.
Mm.
So I think, you know, you talk about, you're asking around what are the things that then happen in between the nuts and bolts, right, to get this right. So first of all, it was cash. Okay.
Mm.
Yes. We're not exact kids.
Yeah, exactly. Trust fund babies.
We're not trust fund babies. We got none of that, you know. But thank goodness for the corporation, right? Because the corporation gave us access to credit.
Yeah.
And that's technically what we funded the business through. You know, I borrowed on my parents' home loan. Santa borrowed on his RCP overdrafts. We know all the credit facilities available. Which is rough as well at the same time from a personal perspective.
Yes.
You know? Which is why then midway we had to go back. So I had to go back into corporate to make sure that my money rides.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. It is real.
And I always say to people, a plan that doesn't change is a plan that's already failed.
Yeah.
If you're like, no, we're going to make this business thing work no matter what, and you actually end up in financial trouble, especially when you have kids, your plan has failed. You need to be able to constantly recalculate.
Yeah.
Like, even a GPS, when you turn the wrong way, it says recalculating. Do you know what I mean? And it's exactly the same, isn't it?
And there's nothing wrong with it, hey? There's absolutely nothing wrong
with it.
So personally, we've kind of, I mean, we're over a lot of things.
Mm.
So it doesn't matter. I needed to go back to corporate so that our money gets right and so that the business can still continue.
Yes.
You know? So it is what it is. The business is still continuing. It's 8 years later. We had to go back to corporate. Both of us were working whilst the business was running, you know?
So
it's doable.
Yeah.
I think, and given the state that we live in right now, we really don't have that luxury that we love to have to say, screw the world, screw the corporate world, I'm off to start my own business.
Yeah.
And then you're broke midway, and then what are you going
to
do?
Exactly. And you've lost your house and everything.
No.
And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have this feature, because I think there are a lot of people where, I think entrepreneurship, as you say, is very sexy right now.
Yeah,
it's the thing that everybody's talking about. And nobody's telling people the truth about what the sheer
magnitude
of what you're dealing with and what it's going to take.
Yeah.
You know, when there's that thing they put up on Instagram that says the dream is free, but the hustle is sold separately. And it is so true. It's
too true.
It's not that simple. If you do have questions for Nobisu Tundlovu, the number is always 61555189. You can always find us on the interwebs as well. It's Touch Central FM from Facebook all the way through to Instagram. Or you can do like everybody else who's been listening, which is download the app and message us directly. It's touchcentral.fm. M. When we come back, I want to talk to you, and I wish we had more time, but anyway, I was just like, you and I could talk forever. I want to talk about what keeps you going, and okay, whether you are excited about South African fashion and where it's going. But for now, this song, particularly for me, describes where I am in my life when somebody co-writes you, "Hello.
You love me. It's special."
I hope you have somebody who co-writes you, makes you feel loved and wonderful. I know Nobisuthu, you do, in the form of your husband, Tuntlantla, who's also your business partner.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to ask you, what are some of the things that inspire you, that make you keep going, you know?
Sure. So my kids.
Yes.
Number one, Umaru no Zizi.
Yeah.
They keep me highly motivated and highly in check, right?
Yes.
And then I do a lot of meditation, a lot of hot yoga.
Mm.
That's what keeps me super sane.
Yes.
I think the physical fitness is probably number one. That's what I get from my dad, to make sure that I'm mentally okay. I have to be physically okay.
Do you run or any of that?
No. I'm in my head, I run.
Okay.
Right? But I must tell you a story, right? So I used to live in Orlando. Now, anyone that knows Orlando, I'd run from YMCA all the way through to Orlando Stadium and run around that Orlando Stadium and then go back by the train station. So, like, I did running before, it was cool.
Okay.
And I'm over it because of my dad. So I said, no, I'm sharp. So I just do yoga now. That's all I do.
And you know what? I think we must all find the one thing that works for us.
Yeah.
As you say, some things are really cool right now.
Yeah. Running, no.
But it's not for everybody. No. My best friend Joe, who listens to this show, says, I'm on Burgundy Fly's website. Now, Burgundy Fly's website is, what is it, actually?
Burgundyfly.co.za.
Burgundyfly.co.za. And if you are a designer and you would like Unobisuthu or Untlanta to look at your designs, the email address is B, as in the letter B, Fly, F-L-Y, at Burgundyfly.co.za.
Sure.
She says, I'm on Burgundy Fly's website now. Love the outfits. One of my favorites is the Josie hanky dress, but it's out of stock. So can people order online? How can people?
Yes.
People can order online.
People can order online, and we deliver within 3 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that's fantastic.
Yes.
It's 12:47. I'm hanging out with Nobisuthu Ndlovu from Burgundy Fly. So you know what? There's somebody who runs my life. Her name is Pashida. And Pashida does this thing when I'm talking that she needs to ring me in so I don't take too long. So I wanted to ask you, what advice do you have for entrepreneurs, particularly people who want to get into fashion in South Africa? And then obviously the last question I want to ask you is, what is your view of South African fashion? Where are we at the moment?
Okay, so my advice to, whether it's fashion or any business that you want to start, is build as much cash reserves as you possibly can.
Yes.
I just did a financial management course now, and one of the key outcomes that came out was to say, you know what, make sure that you build at least three, before you jump, build at least 3 months worth of cash reserves, because what that does for your psychological state of mind,
is that you're not like freaking out.
Yes, living month by month. And also, because you're not freaking out, then you can think better, and your solutions can be much better for your business. So for me, that's number one, save 3 months worth of reserves. Advice number two is what everybody says, believe in yourself, because you're gonna get so many people that tell you that what you're doing is a bad idea. And be headstrong, be open to what people are advising you, because a lot of people are gonna give you advice.
Yes.
From a place of goodness, right? But you do need to learn to filter as much as possible. I cannot tell you how often I get people saying to me, you know what you should do with Burgundy Fly? And I have to genuinely listen to that and, you know, filter what is good. But some of the things, it's like, okay,
well,
sharp.
Please. It's like,
yeah, so you do need to be very comfortable and firm in your way and headstrong in terms of what you're doing, but still be open to receive some good advice.
Yeah.
And then I think, Yeah, number three is just do it, man. Don't hesitate. Just crack on, man.
Just do the damn thing.
Just do it. Don't talk.
Yeah, don't talk. Just be about it. Yes. Be about it. Just actually do it. And the thing is that if we were to wait for the right time, we would never get to the right time. There is no such thing as the right time.
Exactly.
You just have to start.
So I think, you know, another important point that I wanted to raise is that with social media, it's kind of made people, in my view, a little bit lazy around the physical marketing that is also still so necessary. Mm. So from a fashion perspective, yes, social media is brilliant and it's helpful. It doesn't necessarily convert those clicks into direct revenue.
Exactly.
Which is super important for your survival.
Exactly.
So try focus on social media and other physical marketing activities that are going to make sure that your brand actually generates revenue. Focus on that.
And also, my feeling is this: if you're going to use social media, find people that that embody your brand.
Yes.
You don't want your brand to get lost with the shower gels and you know, there's people who are like an advertisement on whether it's Facebook or Instagram.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's the other thing, as you mentioned, like, find people that you think, okay, this person's not everywhere.
Yes.
So when they wear this or they say this, like, it's genuine, you know, and it feels authentic. Tembi, who's a friend of the show. Hello, Tembi. Tembi says, I tune in late. The lady you're interviewing, it's Nobis Sutundovu from Burgundy Fly, sounds very smart. I'm inspired. We also have a message here from your husband who says, Nobisutu must tell you about the rules you have in place to handle communication, like no business talk in the bedroom. We also have real formal meetings outside of our arbitrary business conversation.
Really?
Says your husband. So no business talk in the bedroom. No. Yeah, so manje, those invoices.
You can't help that. That happens automatically.
Yeah.
And it's what's made the business work right now. It is a tough one on the relationship, no doubt. I think, you know, if anybody gets into a business relationship with their lover or a partner for life, I'd say you need to be strict from day one. We never were strict from day one.
Okay.
Yeah. So as a result,
are you becoming stricter as you go along?
We're trying, but it's not really working because I'm like, Lea invoice vele. Yeah, okay. It's the last topic. Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, what are your dreams and aspirations for the label? Where do you see yourselves growing and going?
Sure. So we believe Burgundy Fly is the next best thing since Trevor Noah, right?
Yes, of course.
We firmly believe that South Africa is like a buzz with opportunity. But what we want to do is take Burgundy Fly international and package the South African designer label as an international brand. So South African products that are sold to the international market.
Mm.
We're taking a lot of things from international markets, which is great. Competition is good for the consumer. But we also need to present that. I want to see Burgundy Fly on Fifth Avenue in New York. I want to see Burgundy Fly in London. I want to see Burgundy Fly in Milan as strictly South African designer.
Yes,
wear.
Yeah. Yes.
So I
think there's no reason why that can't be. I happen to finally own a garment from Burgundy Fly, and I'm going to a wedding actually this Saturday, and I'm wearing it. I have never been looked at so much in my life. Like,
no, our comments are hot.
Like really, really hot. So Nhlanhla, everyone again, Nhlanhla, unga infiltrate the meeting because when you couldn't be here. Nhlanhla, who's Nobisutu's husband, also says that the approach to business has been ingrained since childhood. Nobisutu sold chips as a child. I sold computers at varsity, but we've also funded our business through other ventures like property and savings. Sorry, we have another message here from Yandi, but I can't read everybody's messages. It's 12:53,
I know.
I'm gonna have to go soon. So could you let people know one more time?
Yeah.
First of all, can you talk about the Mandolin? When is the show? Store opening. Where will it be?
Okay.
As well as how people can reach you, designers who are listening or other people who want to collaborate with you. If you can just give out those details once again.
Okay. So Mandolin is going to be blazing. It's looking super hot on the drawings. It's looking super
hot
on our 3Ds. We're going to be right next to H&M in Mandolin Center. We're opening on the 24th of November. 24th of November,
yes,
2016. And our website, if designers want to reach us, it's bfly@burgundyfly.co.za.
B as in the letter B.
Yeah. Bfly. Ibafly.
Yeah, Ibafly. Please.
bfly@burgundyfly.co.za.
Thank you so much for coming through.
Cool.
It was such a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
And invite us. You're
there. You're there.
Thank you.
You're there.
Ntlanhla, thank you to you too for being a helicopter interviewee, and also for downloading the Touch Central app, which is the country's most downloaded app at the moment.
Wow.
My parting shot to you today comes from a guy I really admire, and I think that Burgundy Fly is exactly the same as what he's saying. Steve Jobs says, being the richest man in the cemetery doesn't matter to me. Going to bed at night saying, we've done something wonderful.
Yeah.
That's what matters to me. And I think that's what matters to you, Andrew Ntlanhla.
Yeah. Yeah.
From me to you, I say, have a wonderful day. And all the success to you.
Thank you.
All the success
to
you.
Thank you,
everybody. I've got to make way now for O'Neill and Dinewo, who are going to hold you down until 3 p.m. when the touchdown comes through. This is the best of both worlds. My name is Lerato Shabalala. I will see you tomorrow. Love and light. Peshida, I love you.